We're at 11 o'clock, so we can go ahead and get started. Some announcements prior to the start of the meeting. Attendees who have joined via teleconference, please place your phones or audio connection on mute until such time as you're presenting or asked to speak. When addressing the board, please announce your full name first and be sure to speak clearly. Attendees who have joined via teleconference, please do not place your phone on hold or leave your audio unattended. If you need to leave the meeting, please hang up or disconnect your meeting web link and then dial back or click the web link posted on the agenda to rejoin the teleconference. Meeting logistics. Participate in the meeting in person or by dialing the conference line and clicking the web link listed on the posted agenda. The public may submit written comments to the board by emailing publiccomments@innovationhigh.org. Public may also provide comments during the public comment section of the meeting agenda. Reasonable accommodation will be provided for any individual with a disability. Please see the accommodations notice. As required by state law, SB 126, this meeting will be audio recorded and posted on the Charter School's website. Opening items. I'll call this meeting of Orange County Workforce Innovation High School, regular board meeting, operated by Western Educational Corporation, a California nonprofit, public benefit corporation, for Thursday, April 27th, 2023 at 11 a.m. to order. Roll call and establishment of quorum. Michael Adams is here. Claudette Beck.
Present.
Frank Lucasic is absent. Dr. David Rathgate.
Present.
And you have three board members, so we do have a quorum for today's meeting, and we will proceed from that point. Pledge of Allegiance.
If I can, Mr. Adams, there's a website roll call.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. Hi, this is Vanessa Mendoza from the Charter Affairs team for the Learning Center roll call. Anaheim, are you on the line? Anaheim is here. Great. Thank you so much, Jessica. This concludes the Learning Center's roll call.
Thank you, Vanessa. Pledge of Allegiance. Dr. Rathgate, will you please do this? Please try it.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Moving on to item D, staff introductions, corporate officers.
Thank you much, President Adams, board members. My name is Chip Brown, Chief Executive Officer.
Good morning.
Good morning, board, staff, and all in attendance. This is Jerry Vincent, corporate officer.
Thank you. And school staff.
Good morning, Julie Butta, area superintendent.
Thank you, Julie.
Good morning, Lily Child, school principal.
Thank you, Lily.
Good morning, everyone. Val Nguyen, state and federal programs coordinator.
Thank you, Val.
Good morning. This is Jeff Martineau, Vice President, Charter Relations.
Thank you, Jeff. Moving on to school legal counsel.
Yes, good morning, all. Bill Thompson, legal counsel.
Thank you, Bill. And advisors for supporting agenda items representing.
Good morning, board. This is Geeta Sharifi, CFO with LLAC. Thank you.
Thank you, Geeta.
And good morning. This is Michelle Lopez, counsel with LLAC.
Thank you, Michelle. And any other staff who wish to introduce themselves at this time? Hearing none, we'll move on to item E. At this time, I'd like a motion to approve the agenda for the April 19th, 2023 regular public board meeting of the Board of Directors.
I'll make a motion.
Thank you.
David Rathgate, I'm in second.
Actually, I was looking at an old agenda. This is 27. So, thank you. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes with 3 yes votes, 1 absent. Item F. I hear a motion to approve the minutes of the March 7th, 2023 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors.
I think I'll make a motion to approve.
Thank you.
Right, David, I'll second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Passes with 3 yes votes with 1 absent. Item 2, consent agenda. All items listed on the consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and consistent with approved policies and practices of the charter school. The board will be asked to approve all of the consent agenda items by a single vote, as requested by a board member to be discussed and considered for action separately. We have two consent agenda items. Number one, the board will be asked to approve the revised employee handbook. And number two, the board will be asked to approve the revised COVID-19 plan for resuming in-person instruction, addendum to the school's health and safety plan. Do any of the board members like to pull the consent agenda item for further discussion at this time?
I'll make a motion to approve agenda items.
Thank you.
David Rathgaber, I'll second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes with 3 yes votes and 1 absent. Public comment. At this time, members of the public may address the board on any item within the subject matter jurisdiction of the board, whether or not the item is on the agenda. The time allotted for presentation will not exceed 3 minutes unless a member of the public utilizes the translator, in which case the time allotted will not exceed 6 minutes. In accordance with the Brown Act, no action may occur at this time. It is the board's prerogative to hold a brief discussion, provide information to the public, provide direction to staff, or schedule the matter for a future meeting. Are there any members of the public on the line at this time who would like to make comment? Hearing none, were there any written comments submitted to the board prior to the start of the meeting? Shelly, are you with us?
I am. This is Shelly Vance from the Charter Affairs team, here to report that there were no members of the public who submitted written comment or have requested to speak.
Thank you, Shelly. Moving on to item 4, school reports and information. Item A, area superintendent update. Julie Meyer.
Yes, good morning, Board President Adam Breckler, Beck, and Dr. Rathgaber. I'm excited to share with you Orange County Workforce. Firstly, I'd like to commend the entire Orange County Workforce Innovation High School team for their support with our oversight visit with our authorizer, Orange County Department of Education. I appreciate President Adams' support and lifelong learning administration, who had an in-person representative from People Services, Finance, and Special Ed. Rachel Carrillo, our new charter liaison from the Orange County Department of Ed, shared that as a result of the visit, she had better understanding of our program and the board's continued collaboration. I would like to share some good news that Orange County Workforce Innovation High School Comprehensive Coordinated Early Intervening Services CSAFE plan for 2022 has been approved and also known as CIGDIS. The team will be working diligently to implement each plan activity and provide quarterly progress reports to the CDE. As a result of the policy, practice, and procedures review, I'll be requesting your input at our June board meeting on a few policies that we'd like to consider adoption, such as equity, LCAP, professional development, to name a few. Additionally, Orange County Workforce Innovation High School has been found to be significant disproportionate sickness for 2023 school year based on the last 2 years of data collection. Thankfully, our data continues to improve and we're moving towards completion of the sickness cycle. Our team will be working closely with the California Department of Education to develop a new plan to continue to improve academic outcomes for students in our school. Thank you for your support. Yeah, I think this is very difficult. I'd like to update on a few academic indicators since our December update. Orange County Workforce Innovation High School has maintained an average utilization 82.47 through LP8. This data is from LP8, which was from January 31st through 2024. Principal Lonely and the child and team are working diligently to re-engage students. Some strategies include home visits, attendance meetings, and a referral to community partners. Although we haven't met the 85% average, I'm happy to share that for LP9, 94.87% of our students successfully made progress in meeting their academic goals. As you can see from the data, enrollment has steadily increased, and we're working with our community liaison and our school counselor on outreach. Next, Orange County Workforce Innovation High School's credit completion was 2.38 per learning period, and the core credit completion is 1.16. As we get closer to the end of the school year, the team is focusing on our English, particularly for our English learners and math completion. As of LP8, 16 have graduated. The remaining 19 students will have until August 15th to complete their academic journey with us, and we look forward to celebrating with all graduates on June 7th in Long Beach. I would like to introduce Ms. Liliana Cho, principal of sharing the wonderful programming happening at Orange County Workforce Innovation High School.
Good morning. OCI held a college and career fair on March 17th with over 20 vendors, including colleges, employers, trade unions, and community organizations, sharing a range of important information and opportunities like college admissions, financial aid and scholarships, employment opportunities, and more. Some organizations exhibiting including Biola University, Fullerton College, Job Corps, Army National Guard, Anaheim Police Department, and more. We also have the privilege of having Senator Umberg of Senate District 34 come and speak to students and community partners. The event was a success with over 50 students participating. As part of our LCAP goal number 4 for community outreach and engagement, on Saturday, April 22nd, we opened our Center for Mothers Against Drunk Driving and the Orange County Healthcare Agency to hold a meeting called Power Talk 21, centered around vital conversations between parents and their children about alcohol. We also surveyed our students and parents for feedback on our educational partner engagement and provided a Starbucks incentive. We obtained valuable and actionable input on how we can improve programs, services, and learning opportunities. Student Council hosted an Easter egg hunt on March 28th as part of their initiative to facilitate more student-led engagement activities to promote community and connection, and I was there present, and they acted like little kids. They loved it, so it was nice to see. Student Council has also been consistently meeting to build student voice and leadership capacity. On April 20th, Student Council met with our community liaison and state and federal programs coordinator to hear information and provide input and recommendations for LCAP goals and actions, ways to improve graduation rate, and educational partner engagement initiatives. Our student leaders had meaningful and actionable insights on how to increase academic progress, build school culture and connection, and provide more enrichment opportunities for educational partners. During this busy testing season, schools are currently administering a plethora of tests. Thanks to the diligence of our students and the support of our staff and faculty, the LPAC for English Learner reclassification is at 86% completed. Physical fitness test is 86% completed. CAS in English and math are 100% completed. CAS for science is 100% completed. And NWA is set to begin next week for our spring semester. In our science SGI class, students were tasked with developing a model demonstrating their understanding of convection currents. They were given an imaginary budget and materials with a set cost. Students then worked in groups to decide how to create convection current with the materials listed while remaining within the budget. The students practiced a scientific method during this lab. They were able to set up their initial experiment and reassess and revise several times to demonstrate how convection currents work and how this impacts how Earth's tectonic plates move. To continue building expertise and capacity to support our English learner and special education students, our English lead teacher and special education teachers attended the California Association for Bilingual Education Conference and the Council for Exceptional Children Conference, attending sessions on topics such as multicultural literature, supporting biliteracy, high-quality IEPs, and culturally responsive pedagogy. Our community liaison principal, myself, and state federal programs coordinator also attended the California Charter Association Conference in Sacramento and attended a broad range of training on legislative updates, outreach and engagement, and strategic planning. Of our 25 DAS senior cohort students, post-secondary plans include one student attending four-year university or college, 10 attending community college, none are joining the armed forces, one is entering the workforce, one is attending a trade school, and six are still undecided, and six students requiring advisory. Two students met the A through G requirements and applied for four-year universities or colleges. Our counselor is working with seniors to ensure students have advising to apply for either FAFSA or CADA, the California Dream Act application, financial aid, or fill out an opt-out form. Currently, 60% of our students have filled out either FAFSA, CADA, or an opt-out form, with 10 students still needing documentation. We have three students in dual enrollment in fall and currently have five students enrolled for dual enrollment for spring. As we launch our dual enrollment program and gain a better recognition of student needs and program effectiveness, we've implemented guidelines to help protect student successes. For general dual enrollment courses, students must have enrolled in our school for at least one semester to acclimate to our personalized learning program and demonstrate efficacy by submitting at least 3 credits per learning period. For CTE dual enrollment courses, students must have previously completed a dual enrollment course and submitted at least 4 credits per learning period. Our WIOA partners, Ready, Set, OC, participated in our college and career fair. Gloria Tejeda, a class manager, case manager, sorry, attended and was able to share information about the services Ready OC provides. She was able to sign up 5 new students who are eager to learn workforce development skills such as resume writing, interview skills, and receive job placement. Our partnership with Ready Set OC is very valuable to our students, as the number of students receiving case managed services are increasing. We are seeing more students excited for life after high school. Recently, one of our Wiola Hope students, Emily's M, graduated. Ready Set OC is currently helping her navigate life after high school by providing her post-secondary opportunities such as job. For work. Okay, are you in? So this concludes. Now I'd like to turn it over to Mr. Bao Nguyen.
Hello, board. Thanks for letting me come and speak. I'm going to present on first. Yes.
So we'll conclude this, and then we'll President Adams will go to Section B.
Okay.
Apologies.
Yeah. Yeah.
So are we done with
that? Yeah, we're done with
A.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. And now on to item B, the 2022-2023 eligibility for comprehensive support and improvement, CSI, school assistance under the federal Every Student Succeeds Act. Julie Barra.
I said, now I'll defer to Mr. Bowman.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. So the Every Student Succeeds Act, or ESSA, requires that the California Department of Education determine school eligibility for comprehensive school and improvement, CSI, comprehensive support and improvement, rather, CSI. The California School Dashboard is used to determine schools eligible for comprehensive support and improvement. Last year, the California State School Board of Education was denied a waiver from the Federal Department of Education to use the one-year cohort graduation rate for its DAS schools as its primary measure for school improvement eligibility. The federal requirement is a 4 to 5 year cohort graduation rate averaged over 3 years. So that is below 68%, regardless of Title I funding status. With this change, OCI is now eligible for CSI under low grad rate. The CSI plan is currently under development and will be embedded into the LCAP this year. The CSI plan will include evidence-based strategies to support students and will be developed with educational partner input. The CSI plan will be based on a school-level needs assessment and will identify resource inequities. The 23-24 CSI plan is within the LCAP and will be approved by the school board in June. Currently, the CSI plan is being developed and will be integrated. The plan will include evidence-based strategies and will be created in collaboration with our educational partners. And we've actually already begun sharing information and obtaining input during our PAC and ELAC and student council meetings. Thank you, board. Any Thank questions you. On CSI status?
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Thank you. Good report. Moving on to item C, LCAP goals and metrics. Wow.
Thank you. So I'd like to draw your attention to pages 154 to 157 of the board packets. So our LCAP goals and metrics report helps illustrate our current progress towards achieving our LCAP goals. And as you can see, we have 4 LCAP goals to help guide and assess all the work that we do for students to improve learning outcomes. So for goal 1, which is to increase academic progress, we continue to look for ways to improve programs and build capacity to support student learning and increase academic progress. Through LP7, our Lexile score is currently at 983 and Quantile score at 733. We increased average credit completion to 2.6 credits, something that we're really proud of, and our English learner reclassification is currently at 6%. We've assigned a designated EL lead, and our tutors have developed a targeted tutoring schedule to support students around the testing season. Lastly, our graduation rate shows at 20.8%, reflecting that recent change that was mentioned in graduation rate calculation guidelines for DAS schools to meet that 4 to 5 year cohort, as opposed to historically used 1 year graduation cohort. Next, for our goal 2 of college and career readiness, for both priority 1 and priority 7, the California dashboard, 100% of our students continue to have access to standards aligned material, as well as a broad course of study. For priority 2 of the California dashboard for implementation of state academic standards and EL courses, we scored a 3.98 out of 5. Our CAS scores, remember, remain to be determined, and while we have increased our participation in CTE and professional skill courses, Our CP course completion rate is currently at 42%. Next, for our third goal regarding student retention, we're really proud of the hard work our faculty and staff for working diligently to build system support and re-engagement across all departments, which led to increases in attendance, retention, and rematriculation. We increased our attendance year over year by 17%, from 69% to 86%. And we increased retention by 20% from 70 to 90%, while decreasing dropout rates by about 3% from 10% down to 7%. And as always, we're really proud that our suspension and expulsion rates remain at zero. Lastly, we've made vast strides when it comes to our goal four of increasing educational partner engagement for parents, students, and staff. So coming out of the pandemic, we began to hold in-person educational partner meetings again and saw the number of our educational partner attendance doubled from last year. We also saw a significant increase in our PAT and ELAC meetings compared to last year, with a trend back towards pre-pandemic levels. And this is crucial as we continue to build deeper and continued educational partner voice and involvement in our school decision-making. And I'll conclude my LCAP goals and metrics report.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item D, school survey report. That's still valid.
Yes. So next is our school survey report. So on the LCAP report, it does show some of the information, but we'll take a deeper look at the results. You may find your results in the board packet pages 159 to 182. Our school conducts an annual climate survey that is closely aligned with our LCAP goals. Our survey tool is comprehensive and gathers data for us to evaluate how students, parents, and staff feel about the climate at our learning centers. This data gathered from the survey allowed us to gain deeper insights into the needs and concerns of our community. And we're now able to identify specific areas that require improvement and develop targeted action and strategies to address them. We really look forward to using this information to continue enhancing the overall learning experience for our students and to ensure that school remains safe and welcoming environment for everyone. So students were presented with questions to determine their opinions on things like school climate, connectedness and engagement, social emotional learning, academics, future goals, college and career, and civic engagement. And we had about 114 students, or roughly 56% of our student body, complete the annual survey, which is three times more than we had last year. And it's something we're really proud of. Student responses to school climate and connectedness shows that a vast majority of students feel safe and supported. As you can see, 97% feel safe. 97% feel encouraged. And our answers from the social emotional learning questions show that while our students are really self-aware and have the self-regulation skills, there are still areas of need to ensure that all students build these social emotional competencies that we know are so crucial to overall learning, especially in the skills of stress management and relationships. We also want to improve the number of students that participate in some form of extracurricular, as we know that active participation outside of an academic setting acts as a protective factor against adverse outcomes. And our survey showed that 21% of students stated that they have yet to participate in any extracurricular. And another 25% stated that they rarely participate. On the future goals questions, it shows that the majority of our students plan to attend community college or join the workforce, and that there's a wide interest in dual enrollment course topics ranging from things like business to nursing to law. One area of note that we wanted to highlight is that we saw that arts and media was the highest interest for career technical education, and photography was the third highest interest for dual enrollment courses, which we attribute to our new arts, media, and entertainment course implemented this year. Next, we'll go on to parent survey. So our parent survey collected information about families on their background information, safety and connection, time and interaction, communication and engagement, and our local indicators feedback metric for building relationships, student outcomes, and seeking input for decision making. We had 39 parents participate in our annual survey, which was more than double last year's responses. And overall, our families feel informed about events and activities and connected with our school, with 100% stating that they would recommend our school to others. And as you can see, 95% of our parents feel the school safe, 92% feel connected, 97% say that the school provides a high-quality education. One area for improvement that we noted is that about 10% of our families felt neutral about being encouraged to participate actively, and this is something we're actively working to improve across the board with things like our PAC and ELAC and all of our educational partner events. Additionally, under the time and interaction questions, we want to ensure the higher levels of family experience consistent interaction to suit their needs throughout the school year. And lastly, we'll go to our staff survey. Staff were surveyed on their background as a teacher, school climate, academics, and social emotional learning, communication engagement, leadership perception, and professional development and partnerships. And we had 18 staff members participate in our annual survey. And again, staff feel overwhelmingly safe and connected and valued. Staff have a positive view of leadership and feel that professional development and training offered is valuable. 94% of staff said that all staff members care deeply and go out of their way to support students. Areas of growth based on the results include academic rigor, academic progress, and teacher-to-partner relationships. And these are two areas regarding rigor and teacher-parent partnerships that we're going to use this feedback to work with our staff members to troubleshoot and figure out ways to improve that satisfaction rating. And that will complete my update on the survey.
Thank you. Any questions? Go ahead. Thanks so much for your report. I appreciate it. I'm happy in the sense that 56% of your current population, actually current population is larger now that they were tested. They didn't take the survey. These surveys are extremely important, and I would like to see that increase as much as possible. It's nice to hear 100%, 97%, and pat ourselves on the back, but that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for that 23% that didn't do this and 40% that didn't do that, so we can understand what it's going to take us to provide those students, especially coming back off of the COVID-19 situation. We have trauma situations. We have students that are not socializing as well as they should be. So I appreciate the 56%. Thank you so much, but I would expect to see more from you next time.
Absolutely.
Question, you mentioned parents, and I don't know how many parents did. Did all the staff members take the survey?
I don't believe it was 100%. We have 18 staff members take it, and Lily, maybe you can help me, but I believe we have 20 or 21 staff members, so we didn't get quite 100%.
I expect 100% next time. There's another question, it's something I can learn, so I want to.
Yes, sir.
That. And as far as parents, if you can get them to come out and participate, I'm excited about that. Their schools are run so well, so I expect that they're really. This is not a poll, you know, this is a survey, so we want to get as much information as possible. Anyway, thank you for the time, and I appreciate your
questions. And if I may,
go ahead.
A couple of things to note of is as we're calendaring out for next school year, some of that data that does reflect what students, because 25% rarely participate, we're looking at bringing in athletics, bringing in various things to say, okay, if Dr. Rathgeber doesn't want to do athletics, if he wants to do art, let's do art. And so bringing that into the next school year. Additionally, we're going to be with our community schools grant. We're going to be hiring a parent, strictly parent liaison, to support that, because that's where it's like looking at the school, how do we get those parents there? And in seeing that the numbers double, what we look for is progress, not perfection, and to see the double. But you're right, we need to make sure that we're getting any opportunity to make sure that happens. So those are some of the ways that we're already planning, okay, how do we do this better next year? And I think the parent engagement will see, hopefully this time next year, we can say, hey, we're standing room only at every event, every service being taken with fidelity.
Don't misunderstand me, I'm not disappointed with the support. I do recognize from the factor as we can begin to go again, and I recognize the fact that the opportunities are out here.
Yeah.
So no, however, I just want everyone to know exactly where I'm coming from.
Right. Yeah, I just want to share with some of the actions that we're already, like, it's going to be from July, even now, just kind of planning, getting people in place with the parent meeting, because I think that's one thing, and being there, it's going to be 7 years, of seeing how do we get these parents involved, and I think just seeing the Patrick Elect meeting now, where, when, you know, I was the first principal there, we're still having people, and now we're having 7 to 10, of, you know, and that's exciting. So, yes, 100%, but I also wanted to share what we're doing, actionable items, to know that we're on it, and I, you know, thank Val and Lily for their support within this. So,
I'd like to say that the goal of any survey is to get actionable data.
Yes,
right. And the problem with surveys do for the guys that are happy? What do we do for the guys that worse than the ones that are not happy, or the ones in the middle that don't care enough?
Right. Absolutely. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from the board? Thank you. We'll move on to item E, finance update. Deeper Sheedy.
Thank you, board. Hello again. This is Geeta with LLAC. So I have a very quick update for you. This is, as you see, line of credit for Harmony. It's updated as of March 31st, 2023. You will see the line of credit for OCI at $500,000, expiration date, as well as the covenant that we always calculate to ensure that the school meets and the bank actually approves. To continue providing the line of credit if the school needs it. It also shows the balance. Currently, the balance withdrawn from the line of credit is zero. The only change on this is that the prime rate has increased and Harmony line of credit increases with prime rate. So the previous update I provided to the board, the interest rate was at 8.25%, and currently the interest rate is at 8.5%. And then on the lower portion, you'll see the promissory note or the line of credit that was approved for the, which is effective for the whole fiscal year with LLAC, and that is at the fixed rate of 4%. So that has not changed. So again, if the school needs to borrow, which you see here has borrowed, and we always use the lowest interest rate, and we always go out and search to see if there are any other options to receive the lowest interest rate. So that concludes my update. If there are any questions, I'll be happy to go over. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item F, legislative update. Bob Morales.
Yes, and Bob asked me to cover it today. He's otherwise engaged, and he gave an example of some of the things he does. I talked about it at the last meeting, but Bob is the Chief External Affairs Officer at LLAC. And he and his team work very closely with the legislative advisors that LLAC works with on behalf of this school. I mentioned before that it would be difficult for a charter school to do some of the things by itself, but it's able to have someone else help them with. And this is clearly one of them, because what he and his team did is they left Sacramento, as they said they would. They went up there, spent a lot of time talking to staff, talking to legislators, meeting with all the people that they could, and telling our story, explaining how our independent study program works. So they'll continue to do that. They'll continue to work with CCSA, A+, Primax organization. These people as well help move the message out to the world. And I'm pleased to report, well, two things. One, there are no real anti-charter school bills right now. And so that's an excellent thing. The process, though, is now they're going, bills are going through committees and being moved on to the floor eventually. The two that we're especially paying attention to is A+, Jeff Rice organization, proposed SB 426. And the purpose of it was to change the terminology from non-classroom-based instruction, which it has been for many years, to flex-based instruction. That's a rather simple change in South Florida, but words are powerful things. And so we're feeling like that was a good thing to support. Jeff, Michelle Lopez, and I, as I mentioned, weekly meet with Bob Morales and all of the other people involved in this. So he keeps us up to date on these things. This one got passed on committee, and of course the vote was in our favor, but there are a couple of folks that did vote for us. Yeah, another exciting thing, although we kind of expected this to happen, but it's exciting in the sense that a bill, SB 739, was presented to extend the charter terms by 2 years. Now, staff recommendation was it should all be 1 year. And so it didn't get out of committee. It's going to be for 1 year. we're feeling like that it's having some traction, and we're feeling fairly optimistic about so we have to say, Jeff, we think having 2 years extension would be good, because it inhibits us from growth and going to other countries and thinking it's not moratorium is what we're concerned about. That's what we would like to see.
Right.
Which is in 2025. We can't wait. We'll see what happens between now and then. All right, just a couple more points. Another exciting thing is that in addition to doing the meeting with the legislative people now in the local area, Julie and her team can assist in this and have in the past, getting the local city council members, legislators who actually represent this area. Anybody, board of supervisors, you know, any of these kind of people can actually see one of our schools and sells themselves.
Senator Unserve did attend, and he has over a million constituents, and also Representative Newsom, one of his staffers, attended as well. And he, it was just great to see. It was during Career Day, which was great, and the community partners are like, can we get a picture with him? And so it was great, and then our students. And he said, if you have something like, and then also another city council member, Lily did an amazing job of getting the local people that represent, and one of the young men who represents Anaheim, he is a Latino, and it's a couple kids that bonded him, you know, and I firmly believe representation matters, and I spoke to him, I'm like, come back. He's like, anytime, Julie, let us know when you want me to come back. And so we're doing our part, and it's so important for our kids to understand the legislative process. And when they can see, oh, there's a senator in my school, I just, you know, just another opportunity to just commend the team. They're doing it. And Bob and Jody Roberto have been tremendous help of getting them to come to our school.
Thank you for sharing that with the board, Julie, because that's exactly what they like to do and want to see happen. So that's outstanding. Along those same lines, I'm excited to say that they're going to Washington, D.C., and they invited D.C. to do the same thing, talk to the Congress people, senators, hopefully, their staff people, at least usually, and start getting our message across back there, too. And it turns out, and we find out that one of our experiential learning programs is going to have our students back there at the same time. So we found that whenever it takes, in the case of the resource center, they see the needs of it. It's very helpful to have students and let them tell the stories. So, you know, what their life was like, where they came from, why they're at a lifelong school. That's been very interesting. So I'm excited that in June we'll probably talk about how they're watching these features. Again, that concludes my legislative.
Okay. Any questions or comments from the board? If not, we'll move on to item G, the 2023-2024 board meeting date. That is in your packet. On page 186, it shows our next meeting is Tuesday, June 6th at 11 p.m. at this location, and the following six meetings are August 29th, October 17th, November 28th, February 27th, April 9th, June 18th, all of them starting at 11 o'clock, and all of them at this location, so please add to your calendars appropriately to mark that down. We'll move on to item five, the House Matters. Item A, Board will be asked to approve the declaration need DON forms as a prerequisite to the issuance of an emergency permit and or limited assignment permit for teachers at the school for the 2023-2024 school year for California Code of Regulations Section 80026. To the fire.
Yes. So the declaration is the annual document required by our employing local education agency as a prerequisite to the issuance of any emergency permit or limited assignment permit for that agency. We're asking the board approve the declaration of need found on pages 188 through 191 of the board packet. So Orange County Workforce Innovation High School can continue to allow qualified individuals to be authorized to serve in their teaching assignment while they're working towards completing their credential. This time, we're asking for one.
Any questions or comments from the board? Not on
your motion to approve action item 5A.
Quarterback, I'll make a motion to approve 5A.
David Graff Gabriel, second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes with 3 yes votes and 1 absent. Item 6, additional corporate officers and board members' observations and comments. Mr. Brown.
Thank you, President. You know, I scribble little notes myself. I put little circles around that I can use at the phone button. So I was pretty excited to get the report. Thank you, Jim, for your report. The board metrics program that we have together, including the Orange County visit. That was great for Orange County people to come over there. Familiar with Orange County very well, because I was part of that creation. And incidentally, I did meet the Orange County liaison at the convention, and she was very excited that I was meeting there. Oh. So that was good news, too. Yeah, you're growing. You know, it's coming up. A little concerned about the 82%. It was going to get there. And get over that 85% so that we can constantly go. It's not a problem. I'm also divided with your 50% core subject. You're right on the line. My problem with a lot of the presenters of charter schools are talking about the numbers of credits they provide, but a great many of those credits are elective credits, and that's not basic education and core subjects. So when we can 50-50, I was kind of the exciting area. College career is great. Your tutors make an involvement. You had a senator come to visit that career fair, and that again is part of what our legislative reporter here built at the state. And that's what it takes. It takes that to get them knowing. We know what 90 and 70 and 80 senators, and we're trying to get all of them, whatever district they're in, to come to visit schools that we have in their area. And it seems to be working. The CSI thing, I understand why the feds went to the 4-year program, because they're thinking the whole country. They don't understand what we do in California and how we provide our students, because our students can't go there. They're coming in, they're already 18 years old. I mean, how are you going to make the graduation thing work? So with the team going into Washington, D.C. to meet the congressman, that's part of it, to make them aware of what our schools are. And, of course, as our program grows throughout the nation, they will become aware of how this benefits the students, not just the program, but the CPS school. So I find that to be effective. Your report for your LCAP. Sounds good. Sounds like we're on the right track for that. You're coming across the whole, because of the organization, because of the people that work here, make it work and make the LCAP provide what we said it will. And as that grows and we reach those goals, I find that to be really exciting. And thank you for that. Retention. That is great that you're gaining. You're saying you're reaching what you promised us you're going to do when you're bringing it up to date. So I want to thank you. Keep the retention. We can enroll like crazy, but if you don't keep them, why not? And I see we are. So basically, career tech education, that's another exciting area you're working in. You're working with Leola programs. You're making those things happen. Are you in the JAG programs too?
Yeah.
And that JAG is the jobs after graduation. So we try to put all that together to make these young people have a future. We want them to go to continuation of their education, whether it be going to your dual enrollment, going to your community college, going to university, or going to the training organization where they can have a future. So I'm pleased with the report, so thank you so very much. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Ms. Benson.
Thank you, President Adams, and thank you, Mr. Brown, for your comprehensive report. Hey, Julie, I want to thank you and applaud you and your team for the one-pager that was provided that you presented here at the board meeting was for LP8, and you did notify the board that your ABA utilization was up past 90% for LP9. So bravo on that, right? Very good. Hey, Liliana, are you the one that I applied for the testing numbers? I mean, seriously, 100% of that. I mean, those are fabulous to get our kids in, Liliana. Wow. I'm sure you've used some creative measures, and I'm grateful to you for getting our students in.
Thank you. We have amazing staff for sure.
Absolutely. You know, and they hear the word testing and they think, oh, if they only knew how it benefits their education. And it apparently you guys are communicating that to them, because at 100% on some of those metrics, that's not to do that. The park can't do better than 100%. So bravo. And hey, Val, state and federal programs are a function that fall under the Office of School Governance. And I would just like to thank you for your reporting, but also to let you know that your name has come up more than once in our conversations about being a point of contact that is professional and on point. So, sir, I would like to thank you for that very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for the kind words.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for the professional service. We appreciate it. And Liliana, same to you for getting the students in. And Julie, please know that first, I want to thank you for embracing the one pager metric, and know that we have in place the one pagers will come out for every learning period. And so those will be provided to you, Julie, in advance of your upcoming board meetings, so that you'll have an opportunity to push those out and to be able to you know, vet the data, make sure that it's where it should be. And so you'll have the board will have a more current status. This was just our first push. So thank you for embracing the process. And that's it for me. Thanks, board.
Thank you. Any questions, comments from board members?
I just wanted to say, I just really appreciate more than you can imagine, just getting the senators to really understand what we do, because I think that's top priority. I really appreciate what I hear that you guys do that. It's amazing. So thank you for that. I mean, besides everything else that Jerry and Jeff said, of course, you know, all qualifies, but I just want to add my little part.
One of the things that caught my attention, if my math is correct, and I didn't graduate from the program, but I think I heard you say we had about 150 students. And at the career thing, we had 20-plus vendors. That means that you had a vendor for every 7 students. Think about that. Because it's not free for these vendors to come out here. They spend money and time and effort to get out and do these things. They wouldn't do it if they didn't think that the population they're trying to reach was worth reaching. And by having that big a concentration of vendors out there, meeting students who are encouraged to be there, self-encouraged to be there, self-motivated. These vendors will go out and talk to each other, and I think it will grow. And that, in turn, will show the students more hope, bring in more students, not just so that we get more students, but we're reaching a population that needs the help. So I think the outreach to the community and the vendors to get that concentration is really important and vital, and shows the quality of the kids that we have showing up there.
Thank you, Dr. Rafferty. But part of the thing, too, is that when I was there, not only you had military, you had a union rep that did electrical and plumbing. Also, across from him was Biola University. Then you had the local community college. Plus, the RWO partner. So, and when we speak to, and I'll tell you a little bit more about our commitment day in our next board meeting, but it's not just you need to go to college, you need to join a trade, whatever you want to do. We're going to help get there. And so I'm very proud of Lexi, who is our community liaison, and the team, because that's what they brought. And we're talking about these community partners, is how do we continue to have this? Like, what do you need? You know, Mr. Brown, how can we help you? And the team is just, and that's the thing, as we're hearing the packet, you know, they're sharing, hey, what about this? Okay, cool, we got you. We're going to make sure that happens. So thank you for acknowledging that.
Thank you. At this time, we'll move on to item 7, closed session. We will be adjourning the open public board meeting to go into closed session. But this time I would like to request a motion to adjourn the open public board meeting and go into closed session for public employee performance evaluation under Government Code Section 54957B1, titled Area Superintendent. May I hear a motion?
Right, Beck, I'll make a motion.
Thank you.
Go into closed session.
Is that there? I will second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes with 3 yes votes and 1 absent. We are now going into closed session. Report of action taken. There was no action taken on the closed session item. On a motion by Claudette Beck, seconded by Dr. David Rathaber, we exited the closed session and returned to the open session on a 3-0 vote with 1 absent. Item 8, closing items. Next regular board meeting is June 6, 2023 at 11 a.m. May I hear a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I think I'll make a motion to adjourn.
And David Rathaber, I'll second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye. Aye. Opposed? Passes with 3 yes votes and 1 absent. Thank you, everyone. Good meeting.
Yeah.
Thank you.